Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around a bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
Music behind bars is nothing new, but digital music is. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today, MP3 players might be heading to federal prisons around the country. We'll find out more. And coming up later on the show, British indie rock group The Wedding Present has a new album. We'll hear some of it when they play live in our studio. But first, Johnny Cash brought his music to Folsom Prison when he recorded this memorable live album in 1968. Radios have long been a staple in some penitentiaries as well. But now the Federal Bureau of Prisons has announced a new program that would allow inmates to purchase and use MP3 players while they're incarcerated. It's a somewhat controversial plan, and in a moment we'll take your calls and comments about the program. But first, joining me on the phone from Morgantown, West Virginia, is Associated Press correspondent Vicki Smith, who reported recently on the story. Vicki, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you for having me.
So this is currently in the pilot stage, actually not too far from where you are, right?
Correct. It's about a few hours south of here in Alderson, West Virginia.
And what kind of a prison is that?
This is the federal prison camp. It's an all-female minimum security facility. This is the same prison that some of my media colleagues referred to as Camp Cupcake when Martha Stewart was here a few years ago. It holds about 1,200 women.
And so this has been the pilot program. Presumably it's gone well enough that now they're talking, the Bureau of Prisons is talking about rolling it out throughout the federal prison system, right?
That's correct. More than 400 inmates at that facility so far have taken advantage of this program, and if it goes well, as it seems to be, it will roll out to other federal facilities. In all, there are about 177,000 people in Bureau of Prison facilities, so this could hypothetically be allowed to most of those people, unless they were in isolation or under some other restrictions.
Wouldn't you think that people in isolation would be the people who are most in need of an MP3 player?
Well, those are probably people who are under additional restrictions for some reason. So at Alderson, I can tell you that the inmates buy these MP3 players out of the commissary. They cost about $70 a piece. And they then spend 80 cents to $1.55 per song to customize their playlist from a database in the prison.
Now, this is, it's worth mentioning, this is the Federal Bureau of Prisons. There are, of course, state penitentiaries as well. And some state prisons already have this program in place, don't they?
Well, that's correct. This is essentially just an update in technology. Inmates in both state and federal prisons have long had access to things like cassette players, CD players, and radios. At Alderson, for example, you can buy a Sony radio for $44 from the commissary. So, you know, they've had access to electronics before. Some inmates even have televisions in their cells.
We're speaking with Vicki Smith, Associated Press correspondent. She's in Morgantown, West Virginia, where she's been reporting on this program to bring digital music, MP3 players, digital files, to the Federal Bureau of Prisons around the country. You said 177,000 people could potentially be impacted by this.
Yeah, that's how many people are in Bureau of Prisons facilities around the country. Unless they were subject to some other restrictions for behavior in the prison, they would likely be allowed to participate. The Bureau of Prisons sees this as a good thing to do for inmates. They will tell you that it keeps inmates calm, it keeps them occupied, and that helps promote safety, particularly in overcrowded facilities where stress and conflict and the potential of violence are high. Music helps keep people calm.
So are these sort of off-the-rack iPod-style things, or is this a kind of a special gizmo that they're going to be buying?
They are not something that you would probably go out and buy in a store. They are made by a company in Iowa. called Advanced Technologies Group, which has a $5 million contract with the Bureau of Prisons to provide these MP3 players. They are interesting in that they do not have any moving parts, nor do they have batteries that need to be replaced. It has a built-in rechargeable battery. It's quite small. And the manufacturer would tell you that this is much safer than the other forms of music that inmates have access to now for those very reasons. The MP3 player, for example, doesn't require a CD. A disc can be broken into pieces with sharp edges and can, in fact, be used as a weapon. You don't have that issue with an MP3 player.
Now, how do inmates buy music? I mean, they're not allowed to have internet access, so where do they get the files from?
That's correct. The prisons will have an internal database. It has about 1 million songs on it, but it's a closed system. It is not connected to the internet, so they can't get online and do other things. They can just literally access this database and shop for songs. It's also worth noting that they can't shop for just any song.
Mm-hmm.
The inmates cannot purchase anything that is explicit, obscene, or racially charged. The Bureau is using the Recording Industry Association of America's rating system in choosing what titles to make available, and they have the right to remove any songs that they feel might be disruptive in the correctional setting.
Now, I think anybody listening who has gone on iTunes has had the experience of, you know, looking at a song and seeing that label, explicit, next to it. It's a voluntary label put on by the record companies and the sellers themselves, and sometimes it gets applied to things that, you know, there might be a single explicit word elsewhere on the record, and all the tracks are labeled explicit. So take the rapper Drake, for example, and his new album, Take Care. It has that explicit sticker on it. So prisoners under this program would not be able to purchase this song.
My mind didn't change it. I still feel the same. What's a life with no fun? Please don't be so ashamed. I've had mine, you've had yours. We both know, we know. Like I will, my only wish is I die real, cause that truth hurts and those lies heal, and you can't sleep thinking that he lies still, so you cry still, tears all in a pillowcase, big girls all get a little taste, pushing me away so I give a space, dealing with a heart that I didn't break, I'll be there for you, I would care for you, I keep thinking you just don't know, trying to run from that, say you're done with that, on your face girl it just don't show, when you're ready just say you're ready, when all the baggage just ain't as heavy, and the party's over just don't forget me, we'll change the pace and we'll just go slow, you won't ever have to worry.
So we can play this Drake song on the radio, but an inmate in the Federal Bureau of Prisons, once this digital music program rolls out, would not be able to buy this song because of that explicit label that gets attached to the files. So that is one of the restrictions Vicki Smith has been telling us about. Vicki, what is the main argument that the Bureau of Prisons is making for this program?
Well, essentially, there are two. I mean, the first one that is that this is just an update in technology, that as technology changes, so in the outside world, so too should it change behind bars. And again, they also, they make a point that that music is one of the many ways that they're working to keep inmates occupied and calm. It's also worth noting that these MP3 players are something that they see could be expanded to other types of audio entertainment, audio books, or even educational materials that are in audio format. The thinking is that education and job training and that sort of material might help people on the inside become productive members of society on the outside and avoid returning to prison.
All right. Vicki Smith is a correspondent for the Associated Press. She's been reporting on this topic, the Federal Bureau of Prisons' new program for digital music. From Morgantown, West Virginia. Vicki, thanks so much for being with us on Soundcheck today.
It was my pleasure.
Now, this news story has actually stirred up a lot of online reactions. And here are two comments from CBSNews.com, which ran a story about this just a couple of weeks ago. Someone who goes by Little Blogger writes, "I disagree with the concept that we should allow luxuries of MP3 players. Is it not a consequence of committing a crime? Prison? You've lost your privileges as a citizen in our society and must pay for the crime." But another commenter who goes by CO3412 says, "I work as a corrections officer in one of the worst prisons in my state, and for my safety, I'm glad that we have a program similar to this. All of this strictly punishment talk is good in theory, but when you're actually there, you see a very different picture is painted." So Soundcheck listeners, What do you think? Is it important for prisoners to have access to digital music players? Do you know someone who's had access to music in prison or been denied access to music in prison? Leave a comment on the Soundcheck webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck, or call us, 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. And again, the web address, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Joining us now from Georgetown University is Benjamin Harbert. He's an assistant professor of music and the creator of an upcoming documentary called Follow Me Down, the new work of Louisiana prison songs. It's about music in the state prisons in Louisiana. Ben, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks, John. Good to be here.
What's your initial reaction to this Federal Bureau of Prisons program?
Well, I think it's a positive thing, and having firsthand experience of being in prisons and also witnessing how music can be really transformative, not only for the individual, which we can argue about that, but transformative for the communities of prisoners. I think it's a positive move, and I thoroughly support it.
So now, in the course of making your documentary, I mean, you know, we have this kind of Hollywood black and white movie image of the prisoner in his cell with the harmonica, right? I don't think that happens much anymore. What do you see when you were making your documentary in the Louisiana prisons? How is music heard and experienced there?
Well, you see a lot of people with headphones on a lot of the time. And then I've seen more vital music communities in prisons than I have seen out here. It's actually, in a lot of prisons, it's almost a sort of a folk music world that you imagined America was like 100 years ago. Because people have time to play music, and music takes on a deeper significance when you're cut off from the world much more. And you're left to your own devices to not only entertain yourself, because music does more than that, but also to sort of examine yourself in a poetic way, which is, you could do through writing poetry, you can do through making music or any kind of art.
And so do most prisons have a place where, you know, the prisoners, the inmates can get together and, you know, do their art, whatever it is?
It really depends on the prisons. And, you know, if you look at the history of prisons, there's never been a single reason that prisons have existed. And that manifests itself in are prisons supposed to rehabilitate the inmates? Mm-hmm. Are they simply to hold the inmates? Are they supposed to punish offenders? I mean, they do a little bit of each. But the rationale for having music programs in prisons, I mean, that goes back. There have been 100 years of music programs in the prisons themselves. Mm-hmm. But you find all kinds of music and all kinds of reasons for people playing music in the prisons today.
Benjamin Harbert's documentary about the Louisiana state prisons is called Follow Me Down, the new work of Louisiana prison songs. And in this clip from Ben's documentary, we hear inmate Consuela Thomas. She's serving a 47-year sentence at the Louisiana Correctional Institute for Women, and she leads the choir there, and we first hear her singing.
Precious, precious Lord, and lead, come and lead me home.
I really believe if I didn't have music, I probably would have lost my mind. And God blessed me with the talent of music. So even if there's no radio, no church choir, I can sing for myself. And that's what keeps me.
That is Consuela Thomas from Benjamin Harbert's documentary, Follow Me Down, the new work of Louisiana prison songs. Again, we're examining the sound of prison. The Federal Bureau of Prisons has announced this new program to allow inmates to purchase and use digital music files and MP3 players while they're doing time. And Ben, were you surprised by how much music is happening in these prisons that you visited?
Well, I was. I mean, I think we're generally, if you actually go to a prison and you see the way prisons are run, it's incredibly surprising because we, I think for almost anybody who doesn't have experience, because as Americans, we're so preoccupied with prisons. It's in our literature, it's in our movies. I mean, think Shawshank Redemption, mm-hmm. and that gives us an image of what prison is like. But like you were saying earlier, you know, the harmonica in the prison, which goes back to a Norman Rockwell painting.
Right.
You know, that image is a double image of what we actually have. So there's a tremendous amount to be surprised about with prisons. But one of the surprising things is just the variety of music that you have there. I mean, you would think because we, you know, so over-incarcerate the African-American community in this country that it would just be a field of rap.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, I've seen everything from experimental jazz to there were programs in California where inmates were doing sound sculpture. I met a guy who was writing jazz in, I think in Cantonese or something. I mean, you find
wow, all right. So it reflects.
It's a microcosm of America. I mean, we incarcerate 1 out of 100 Americans. And so you're going to have the same variety you have on the outside.
And that means a lot of music. And again, this Federal Bureau of Prisons program offering potentially access to digital music to up to 177,000 people. And again, Soundcheck listeners, what do you think about this? It has provoked a lot of support and some opposition. You can leave a comment on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck, or call us. Our number is 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And what about the idea of, you know, these MP3 players potentially being kind of bargaining chips behind bars? I know that's been something that has been raised by people who are questioning this program.
Well, I think, I don't know a tremendous amount of that, but, you know, you'd be surprised at what people find ways of exchanging things. I mean, there are travel around the world and look at market economies, and there are layers and layers of unofficial markets. And you find the same thing in prison. You know, one of the ways it was in California prisons was through ramen noodle soup. You know,
really?
They banned cigarettes in the California prisons. Inmates started exchanging those ramen noodle soup packets. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's been to college knows well. And recipes for them. So, you know, I mean, the idea that it's going to be part, you know, who knows?
Well, let me
part of a market economy.
Ben, let me ask you this. There are a number of prisons that do allow radios. Here in New York, we called Rikers Island earlier today. They currently allow some small portable radios, and they're only for some inmates. But still, a couple of radios tuned to different stations is all it takes to make a cell block a pretty cacophonous place, if it isn't already. Is the idea of giving people MP3 players and, you know, listening to music under pod, as they say, I mean, is that likely to actually make prison a little quieter?
Well, I don't know if it would make it quieter because you can have people singing along and all that. Prisons, I don't think it's possible to have prisons quiet. I mean, the Pennsylvania system experimented around with that in the 19th century and found that all the inmates went crazy when they isolated them and they required them to work in silence. And in fact, if you look back at firsthand accounts of it, there were communication systems people had by banging on pipes and things to actually communicate, even though there was a reign of silence. But I mean, when we think of prison from the movies, we think of silence and isolation. But in fact, the problem of prison is being in such close proximity to people and trying to mitigate the noise. And from what I've found in talking to inmates is that that's part of the work that music does, is music emerges from noise and it organizes the sound, it organizes your environment in a way. So I think that's why a lot of people wear headphones in prisons, because it's somewhat of a relief from the maddening noise. And, you know, I mean, we can think of this in terms of punishment. Do people deserve that noise or anything like that? I mean, most of these people come back into society.
Right.
We want them to be sane enough to be able to join back into our community. Otherwise, we should talk about having a system in which we lock people up for the rest of their lives or something like that, you know. So, I think that music can help focus somebody and mitigate some of the problems that you'd have with constantly being exposed to noise. It's an important thing.
Hi, we're speaking with Benjamin Harbert. He's an assistant professor of music at Georgetown University. His documentary is forthcoming, and it will be called Follow Me Down, the new work of Louisiana prison songs. And Joe from Long Island is joining us on the line. Joe, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, thanks a lot.
So what do you think of this Bureau of Prisons program to bring digital music and to make it accessible to the inmates?
Well, I think as a country, we have to decide if that first comment you had about somebody who called in or made a comment about prisons should be to punish people, if we're going to do that, then we should go back to the old rock pile, making little rocks out of big rocks. I think anything that can serve to that can serve a purpose of rehabilitating someone and at the same time calming the prisons down, maybe making it a little bit more palatable. You know, not everybody in prison deserves to be tortured or punished to a great extent. They're incarcerated to begin with. That's their punishment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we need to go any further than that. They serve their time, and if they have a chance to do something productive, something constructive, they should be given that opportunity.
Well, and as Americans, you know, we are protected, our Constitution tells us, from cruel and unusual punishment. Let's take another call. Claire on the line with us from New York. Claire, what's your opinion of the Bureau of Prisons program?
I feel very encouraged about it. I'll tell you the truth. A couple of years ago, I saw a program regarding the Philippines prison system, and they have a wonderful music dance program in their prisons where they showed a yard filled with hundreds of men. In fact, I think they were doing Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Right.
And it was wonderful to watch. And they interviewed prison officials who said that these programs have really helped their prisoners, their inmates, to become better citizens, to engage in less antisocial behaviors, and to generally have a more positive stakeholder attitude toward life. And if we're not encouraging people to do that that are incarcerated, then we either have to lock them up for the rest of their lives or put them in exile. But we can't return them to society without giving them some of these psychic boosts that music and other arts can do.
Right. That's sort of echoing the point that Ben made just a moment ago, that that YouTube video of the Filipino prisoners doing the Michael Jackson song is kind of a viral video. You may have seen that online. We've got some comments coming in on the website, so let's check in with Joel Meyer in the control room for some of those. Joel?
John, Victoria posted this comment. I've never been to prison, but I do fly economy often, and my travel experience is so much better now that I have my iPod. I can see that this calming influence would extend to prisons as well. Maybe the iPod is so ubiquitous, John, that that we take it for granted, and maybe prisoners should have it too. A question, though, for maybe that our guest Benjamin can answer. Anne asks, are television shows restricted in the same way certain songs are in federal prisons?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Ben, you know, I mean, from your experience in the various prisons you've seen?
Well, the only, I don't know a lot because I didn't study television watching, but I think that'd be a fascinating study. What I have seen is that the televisions are controlled and that they're shared. And so just like at home, you'd have to negotiate with somebody over what channel you're going to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as censorship or anything like that, I don't know.
All right. One other thing that's probably important to mention about this Bureau of Prisons program, the cost to the taxpayers, zero, because the inmates would have to earn the money to actually pay for the both the MP3 players and for the files themselves. So we've been talking about this idea that's been proposed to roll out a bigger program in federal penitentiaries across the country, allowing inmates to purchase and use digital music players, music files, MP3 players. And we've been speaking with Benjamin Harbert, whose forthcoming documentary will be called Follow Me Down, the new work of Louisiana prison songs. And Ben, it's been a pleasure having you with us on Soundcheck today. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you.
And, of course, Lil Wayne a couple of years ago had a much publicized stint in confinement, in solitary, in fact, at Rikers Island here in New York, during his sentence for smuggling an MP3 player into his cell. Digital music players are still not allowed there at that jail complex.
I'm in the far lane. I'm running this 100-yard game.
swag on infinity. I'm killing them.
Up next, the veteran British indie rock group The Wedding Present has a present for their fans. It's a new album, and we'll hear some of it live in the studio. This is Soundcheck.
I must be sticky because them got their eyes glued. Young Money, baby, we just like fly.